I want you to think of how many influences there are in your life. You look at Romans chapter 14 and look there at verse 7 that says, no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. We understand the latter part of that verse and recognize that when we die, it impacts all of those that are around us. And it really does. You just think of the what happens when the phone call comes and says so-and-so has died. You've probably not heard of this person dying. And if it's some person you know or some person that's close to it, your life is impacted by that very kind of information. If our lives are impacted by our deaths, think about how our lives are impacted by our lives themselves when we're alive. And think of how many influences they are. And so we want in this lesson this morning to take four influences there are in people's lives and talk about them. Because you see, the very concept of influence means that it changes us. How do you like your coffee? You think about coffee and how many different ways there are to have coffee. You go to Starbucks and there, how many different flavors can you put inside that one cup of coffee? I don't know. I don't drink coffee. You understand? But you recognize. You add a little bit of sugar. You add a lot of sugar. You add a little cream. Add a lot of cream. And then you start adding in all the other flavors and things that are there. That's like our lives. It's not that we live in an isolated world, on a deserted island, all by ourselves. But around us, every moment of every day, right now you're being influenced by the people sitting right beside you. If you're sitting on the back this morning, you're being influenced by watching everybody that's in front of you. Isn't that remarkable? If you're sitting halfway, you're only half influenced. And bless your heart, if you're sitting on the front, not much influence is coming for you to look at. But we're influencing each other right there. Did you influence people with your singing this morning? I want you to think about that. In your singing this morning, did the singing of others influence your lives? Did the selection of songs influence your life? You know, whatever is happening in your life is an influence. It's the holiday season. Is your life being at all touched by the holiday season? Those influencers are there. Now let's talk about it in a spiritual way. We need to understand that one of the earliest influences we have in our lives is a parental influence. You don't remember those first 4 or 5 years of your life, but you have been shaped and molded by the incidents that happened in those first 5 years of your life beyond all measure. You learn what the word know means. You learn how to interact with other people. You learned how to laugh. You learned how to smile. You learned when tears would work and when tears would not work. And hopefully you did not learn that if you throw a bad enough tantrum, you'll finally get your way. They're those influences. And that's why the Bible says so much about the matter of parents and the influence that parents have on others. And think about that for a moment. If I say Proverbs 22:6, would that mean anything to you? What if I say, train up a child in? Can you finish that verse mentally? Train up a child in the way he should go. Can you finish the rest of it? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. You want a verse that emphasizes the influence that parents can have on their children and what a call to action it is to every parent that's here this day. When in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says, the words that I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Parental influence. You and I have been influenced by those that are around us. There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 6 that talks about the influence that our parents have on us even when we're not there. Teens, think in your life right now about some situation that develops in your life, and the first thought that comes to your mind is, what will mom and dad think about this? If mom and dad are aware of this, what will they think about this? Listen to these words. My son, here's the wisest man that's ever lived, and he's talking to one of his children. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake the law of your mother's. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you, and when you sleep, they will keep you, and when you awake, they will speak to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. You're talking about the matter of parental influences. There are all of those influences around us, and those of us who look back can think of the influence that our parents have had on us. Those of you who've grown up in the church and those of you who have a heritage in the church, you know what I'm talking about. Of the great honor that it is to have had godly parents and godly grandparents, and we can appreciate it, but probably not nearly as much as those who did not grow up in the church and did not have that godly experience, and they struggle even in their lives and sometimes have trouble reaching the level of spirituality of others. But look at these verses. Parental influence, bind them around your heart, put them around your neck, carry them wherever you roam, wherever you go, when you're lying down, when you're rising up. Why? Because there is that matter of parental influences that shape our lives. And that's why the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Give honor to your mother and to your father. And then in verse 4, fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Influence. There's a second influence in our lives, and that is the church's influence. One of our elders now is going to come and speak of one aspect of the church's influence in this church. Many of us are aware that Casey is no longer here working with our young people. And the elders wanted the entire church to know how they, as the shepherds of this church, are trying to make provision for the church's influence, not just on our young people, but its influence on every one of us as we have opportunity to have influence on those who are younger in the church. Dan, come and talk to us.
Good morning. This morning I'm going to just have a brief talk on the youth programs here at Palm Beach Lakes. We've been blessed by strong leadership through the years, and we've been blessed with great young people through the years. If I was going to ask you and your family to make spiritual goals, what spiritual goals would you come up with? I want us to take just a brief look at what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:12 and Colossians 1:28, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. The Bible talks about equipping the saints. And that's what our youth programs are about. Equipping our youth. The work of ministering. Edifying the body. And to present every man perfect in Christ. We want our young people here at Palm Beach Lakes to grow spiritually. Is there any reason why the parents and the youth program, the education program, the church as a whole cannot join forces and efforts together to reach a common goal? And it's always important for our young people and parents and workers to remember that our youth program does not belong to us, but it belongs to God. And then we can look forward to an outcome of all this, and it's stronger faith stronger faith in our young people, stronger faith for our congregation, also stronger families, and stronger relationships, which God wants us all to have. An interim program is now in place and already running. An example of that is the announcement that was made earlier about the teens doing a very special project after worship today. We have placed certain people in certain positions to help out with this interim period as the elders are searching for a new youth director. I'm going to preside a leadership and facilitator position. We've asked Taylor Reeves to work on Sunday night devotionals, Nate Nelson for Bible class devotionals on Wednesdays. The Browns and Trujillos are working on several service projects throughout the year for our teens. We've asked Darren and Jen Summerlot to work on a lock-in later on this month. Metzger's family and the Fuller's family are working on the Challenge Youth Conference, or CYC, trip for the teens. And then we've asked Gary and Jackie Jenkins to work on a trip to Fried Hardeman University later on next year. We've developed a program where it's just not the teens that are involved, but it's the families. Families have volunteered to help coordinate teen activities 1 month per family over the next 6 months. They are to help plan and facilitate events, emphasizing devotionals, service projects, and social activities. So when I say that this program is up and running, it really is, and it's doing well. And then we've also planned some special weekends for our teens. Special seminars with Eric Lyons and Kyle Butt from Apologetic Press. Next month, Eric Lyons will be here to talk to our young people about evolution versus creation. So I hope you parents and our teens are making plans to attend that. But we're just not working with our teens. Well, we're also working with those that are in junior high. We're thankful for David and Tracy Sproul taking on leadership position. We also want to thank a group of young people that are helping David and Tracy, young adults. I also want to thank young adults that have really, really helped our teens as well, have stepped into the gap. We have marvelous young adults that see a need and they've decided to fulfill that need. So the elders really wanted to thank the young adults. Dave and Tracy's junior high group are singing on the second Sundays. They have service projects planned, and social events, devotionals, and family-oriented projects. Then for our third and fifth grade, under the leadership of Rick and Melinda Price, singing and devotionals and family activities, I thought it would be really neat to see those young people in their own devotional, kind of like the big kids. And then our kindergarten second grade, under the leadership of Cam and Holly Kratz, they're also planning devotionals and service projects and also interaction of different age groups, which is really important in that development of relationships. So, the outcome, is there any reason why parents and the youth program, the education program, the church as a whole can't join forces in efforts to reach a common goal? And think about that outcome. For stronger faith, stronger families, and stronger relationships. Thank you.
I wish you could have been with me earlier today as I was teaching the senior high. Guys, I'm speaking on behalf of this church. We love you. We love you. And you mean so much to us. And not just you who sit on these front rows, but these who are here and those who are scattered all over the place. Stronger faith. Stronger families. You stop and put all of these things together and think of where we can be. Here's a question to be considered by every one of us. Somebody came to Palm Beach Lakes today and they've got a newborn baby and they say, I'm going to be a part of the church and I want to know what this church will do for me in helping me as a parent to change and mold and shape the lives of this child. And when he's been in this church for 18 years, what will he look like? Now, when I ask that question, what will this church do for my young people? I wasn't talking about the elders exclusively, nor of the names that have appeared on the screen this morning. But it's a question that involves every member of Palm Beach Lakes. What can I expect this church to help me do to raise my children? God help us. There's parental influence. There is the church's influence. And then there's the influence of friends. Do you know how much your friends impact you? You know the verse, could you finish this verse? Be not deceived, evil companions corrupt. You got it. I hope you may not know where that is found in the Bible, and that's all that you know, 1 Corinthians 15:33. I hope you know in your life. I hope you know that this is the Word of God who made us, who created us, who created our bodies and created our souls. The God of heaven says, do not be deceived. You cannot hang around those who are doing wrong without their influence having a negative influence in your life. But somebody will say, well, I'm strong enough. It won't happen to me. Hello, did you read the first words in that verse? Be not deceived. And whenever you say, well, I can do it, Mom, Dad, I can hang around these people and they won't have any influence on me. Mom and Dad, read the first part of that verse. It's already happened. You can't get to the second part of that verse until you memorize the first part. Young adults, college age, young professionals, you cannot hang around people that are always negative in their values toward spiritual things without them having an impact on you. And don't you dare say, I can do that, I'm strong enough. You have ignored what the God of heaven said. I don't know if I ought to use this expression or not. Learned it from an elder in Birmingham. He says, you can't walk long in a chicken yard without stepping in something. I believe that's what that verse is saying, isn't it? You and I need to recognize the influence that our friends have. You know how we're going to learn this lesson about evil companions corrupt good morals? We could learn it by trusting God. We could just say, you know, the Bible is right and this is what the Bible says about this. That's one way of learning it. You know, a second way to learn it is by life's experiences. By getting out there and touching a hot stove, you can learn it by life's experience, or you may live the rest of your life and never learn it until the day of judgment. You're going to learn this lesson from God. And oh, what a lesson as parents we ought to have in teaching our children. And what a lesson that young people need to have is to say, if there's any verse in the Bible that really addresses me and what I'm struggling with in my life, here it is. Their morality or their immorality, their standard of right and wrong, and their attitude toward honesty, and the attitude toward vulgarity, and the attitude of all of these things, you and I need to hear the God of heaven that says, you cannot hang around, have your best friends, those who are not children of God, without it pulling you down. In this world, You'll touch the world enough and you'll be around people like that enough so that you can to be the light and the salt of the world and the earth. But God does not intend for us to go and live in that world and let that world overwhelm us. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And then there's that other influence. What about the verse from Proverbs 23:7? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The wisest man that's ever lived on this earth said those very words. Directed by the Holy Spirit of God, Solomon says, as you think, so you are. But you think about the influence of the media in our lives. You think of movies. You think of the fact that movie is ready to come out and every one of us says, well, have you seen this one? Let's go see this one together. And we live as though that's the most important thing on this earth. I marvel, I have no understanding at all how anybody could ever miss a worship time of serving God to go to a movie. To be in a place where the Word of God is being presented and the Word of God and the truths of God are being held forth and the light of the gospel is shining, and to choose to say, well, I just don't need that in my life. I choose to immerse myself over in this part of the world. You stop and think of the impact of the celebrities in movies and television having in our lives. If you started naming the names of celebrities, marriage, immediate divorce, shacking up, immorality, you cannot live in that world and let that be the world that surrounds you, because the Bible says, as you think in your heart, that's who you are. You'll become like that person. Oh, you may not get as far away from God seemingly as they are, but he that is not with me is against me, no matter whether he's far out in the distance way or whether he's chosen immorality above God. In the matter of texting, Facebook, vulgarity transmitted just with some brief abbreviation of ungodliness, you think that doesn't have the impact on us, and you stop and think of the influence it has on others. One of the tragedies of the modern communication world in which we live is that somebody can get a text that mentions something or some action of some other friend, mutual friend. Did you hear about them and what they did? And immediately that message is transmitted to 20 other people who in turn transmit it to 20 other people, and in two clicks of computer keys, 400 people have immediately learned. The Bible says not just that God hates the man who starts a rumor, starts a tale about another, but he who takes up a tale, gossip about somebody else, God hates it. And we're being influenced by it, brother and sister in Christ. We've been singing this morning about longing to go to heaven and make me so I'll be the Lamb of God. You think of Super Bowl Sunday coming up, and how much is 30 seconds advertising worth? That second Sunday or first Sunday in February, the world itself understands. You know what happens when you study the Bible? And I'm not talking about just reading a chapter, but you can study the Bible. Listen, you can pray about this, and you can arrive at the point that you're standing at the foot of Mount Sinai. And you can see that lightning that's there. You can see the fire. and you can feel the ground shaking beneath your feet. The voice of God that spoke from that mountain speaks as clearly to us when we read other passages of Scriptures, not just that one, but perhaps one that says, "Be not deceived, evil companions corrupt." You know what happens when you study the Bible? You can sit on the ground in the front row where when Jesus saw the multitude, He went up into the mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him and He taught them, saying, you can sit right there at the feet of Jesus. That's Bible study. And that's an influence that you can have in your life. You can have the same influence, since Paul did not write all of the words of his epistles, but he had a scribe sitting there. Are you aware that it was a scribe, somebody writing down the words of Paul, who first read the words the Holy Spirit had just given? And in Bible study, you can arrive at that point and God will change your life. Influences, parental influence, the influence of the church, the influence of friends. And had we had time, we'd talk about the influence of friends for godliness and the influence of the media. God help us to not just go to church and not just like some little children would play church, but God help us to walk into this building and focus on heaven, and we praise the Creator and the Christ who died for us and the Spirit who revealed this message to us. God help us that when we pray, we know that heaven is listening. God help us to sit with Jesus around this table. And God help us at this part of our worship when God speaks, because the words of God are proclaimed. God help us. You know how much God wants you to go to heaven? You know the influence He wants to have in your life to help you go to heaven? He wants to influence your life enough so that you'll become a believer. Mark 16:15 says, go preach the gospel. That's God's plan. Heaven wants to influence your life to cause you to be a believer that Jesus is the Son of God. For the latter part of verse 16 says, because he who does not believe shall be condemned, eternally separated from God if you do not believe. Those are the words of God. And God wants to impact our lives enough to cause us to make up our minds to follow Him, to repent, to make that decision. I'm going to serve God. I'm tired of doing everything that I want to do and ignoring God. I want Him to make me the Lamb of God. And God's influence is in our lives that He wants us to confess Him. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if you'll confess the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. And the only question that follows that is to ask the question, have you confessed Him? If you'll confess Him, you will be saved. Have you confessed Him? And then God wants to influence your life to submit yourself to Him by being immersed in water, that every sin you've ever committed might be washed away. Acts 2:38. He adds you to the church, to the family, to His kingdom, And then he says to all of us who have done these first four things that are on the screen, he says to all of us, here's what I want you to do. Member at Palm Beach Lakes, a member of the Lord's church, be full of faith until you die, and I will give you the crown of life. How can we help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?